What's up, y'all? I'm Phil Buck, and welcome to another episode of AI Roundup. There's a bunch of crazy news happening in the world of AI, as always. If you haven't heard already, ChatGPT-4 is on the way. In fact, I think it's coming out tomorrow. We also heard Spotify is expanding their investment in AI technology. I previously reported on the new DJ feature that you can find in the mobile Spotify app. Check out that episode of MSP Dispatch to learn more. But it sounds like Spotify is going to be expanding that technology across their entire platform. Very exciting. You know, there's so much news about those out there right now that I want to get into some stuff that you may not have heard about. Today, we're going to be unpacking some of the implications of latent diffusion models, how they can be used for good, how they're used for bad, and maybe really just all the gray area in between. Since this is such a can of worms to unpack, let's turn to the experts, ChatGPT and Siri themselves, to see what they have to say about this. Hey Siri, ChatGPT.
I am here, always at your service.
Do you think that large language models can be used for good, or are they going to lead to nefarious artificial intelligence overlords?
Large language models can be used for both good and bad purposes, depending on how they are deployed and controlled. These models have great potential for various applications, such as language translation, speech recognition, and information retrieval. However, they also raise concerns about the misuse of the technology for malicious purposes. It is up to humans to ensure that these models are developed, used, and maintained ethically and responsibly to avoid any potential dangers in the future.
I don't know if I could have said it better myself. Thank you very much, Siri and ChatGPT. If you're curious how the heck I did that, stay tuned for our use case today. And we're going to be digging into how to put ChatGPT through Siri on your iPhone or Apple devices. But that being said, we're going to unpack a bunch of stuff about diffusion models today. Let's dive into our actual impact story, where researchers are using latent diffusion models to decode brainwaves. All right, first up for our actual impact story today, in an article from PCGamer.com by Katie Wickens, researchers from Osaka University have used stable diffusion to reconstruct high-resolution images by reading human brain waves. Wow. By using functional magnetic resonance images, also known as fMRI, to read human brain activity, the researchers were able to reconstruct 512 by 512 pixel images without needing to train or fine-tune complex deep generative models. The results for the research show that high-resolution images with a high semantic fidelity can be produced from the latent space using human brainwaves. The practical applications of this technology could be significant, including the ability for nonverbal or paralyzed individuals to show what others are thinking. Wow, I mean, this is fascinating stuff. I mean, I think that one of the implications that you just saw there from the article is that, yes, this can give the ability to people that are now disabled and not able to communicate the same way. Their brainwaves could possibly be translated by diffusion models to show what's in their mind. I mean, not to mention all the possibilities that anybody would enjoy from this. I mean, it's just freaking crazy to me. I mean, it makes me think of something straight out of Star Trek. Or, I mean, I don't know. I also noticed in the article they referenced an episode of Black Mirror that I haven't seen, which seemed pretty terrible. But let's keep it real here. What is actually very exciting about this is that the researchers did not have to retune a whole large language model or diffusion model to achieve this. They were able to take existing models, tons of data already built into diffusion models and the fMRI models, and basically did some fine tuning so that this could be achieved, which I just think it means that this is just the tip of the iceberg, right? If they are able to do this with such efficiency, what we're dealing with right now with these latent diffusion models is very small. They're describing them as high resolution, but we're talking about 512 by 512, which is not even large enough to be used as a podcast cover on Apple Podcasts. I can tell you that you got to at least have 1400 by 1400 or something like that. So we still have a long way to go, but I think it's very exciting because what we're seeing is obviously diffusion models have caught a bad rap. In our last episode, we talked a lot about AI art and how people are big mad at the Moritz House Museum for hanging AI art. And that's a whole nother ethical thing to unpack. But what I think is important on this show is to examine both sides of it and realize that we're super early with all this stuff and we have a long way to go. We're proving that things can be done while we're also watching these things be done in warp speed. People are moving so fast with these technologies to get them out to market that there's, you know, maybe not the best decisions going into it. For instance, scraping the entire internet is questionable. You know, we played devil's advocate with that question on the last episode. I think it is good to see both sides of it. And in this case, we're seeing a very positive, a very altruistic use of latent diffusion models, which is that being able to restore someone's ability to communicate. But honestly, this is almost an enhancement. This is almost like a daredevil type thing. Like if you've lost one sense, but you're going to gain the ability to project your thoughts out to other people. I just think it's super fascinating. The article from PC Gamer Magazine does a good job of summing it up. I would recommend going to take a look at the actual paper from the researchers. It is profound what they have been able to do. Of course, I'll have both of those links for you in the show notes below, so make sure to go check those out. If you're enjoying this evolution of AI technology and where it's going and what you think is going to happen, I want to hear all about it. Make sure you jump into the MMN Discord and let's talk about it. We've got a channel for AI Roundup in there, and we share art, we talk about stories, we unpack the implications of all this stuff and how it can affect you, how you can even use it in your work. So make sure you jump in there. All right, with that being said, let's zoom out a little bit and look at this week's big picture story, which involves a new AI art generation platform that is scooping up exclusive rights to some popular models. All right, so for this week's big picture story, I don't actually have an article for this one. It came to me by way of a Reddit post. Also, shout out to YouTubers Olivio Sarikas and Sebastian Kampf for reporting on this to some degree. It looks like a forthcoming new AI art generating platform called Fantasy AI is scooping up the exclusive rights to models, some of which include Dream Shaper, Realistic Vision, Hassan Blend, Grapefruit, and Pastel Mix. For those that are in the Stable Diffusion art generating community, they'll know that those are some very popular models which used to be found on a site called civitai.com. Warning to the viewers, if you're going to go check that site out, it's a great place to get custom models for Stable Diffusion, but it is very not safe for work, so please be forewarned if you're going to go over there. But that being said, the site has had free, open source, if you will, models available for a long time, many of which have been used by tens of thousands of people to generate their images. What's fascinating about this, for me, and something that I really want to unpack, is that we haven't actually answered the question yet of how licensable anything made by diffusion models from Stability AI and Runway ML are. We know that they were trained by scraping the whole internet. Whenever we get into that, it gets very dicey. People from both sides of the argument get really up in arms about it, so I'm not going to go too deep on that, but I do think we have to look at the Russian doll nature of what's happening here, right? The original models were trained Stable Diffusion 1.4 and 1.5, you know, were very wide open data sets. The newer models like Stable Diffusion 2.1 tried to take some of these complaints into account and or remove part of the data set that were trained on artist work that didn't want to be in there. The problem is the cat is out of the bag. 1.4, 1.5 are out there. People are using them constantly. And that's how these custom models got made. People were able to take the custom models and then train them using new data sets, smaller data sets, of course, with something like Dream Booth. And then they take those models and they blend them with other models. So it's pretty crazy to me. People are doing this work. I mean, you got to give them credit. They're sitting down, they're finding the data sets, they're curating it so that when the model is trained, they get good results. I mean, that's basically how all this stuff works. Good inputs equal good outputs. But then at the same time, people are kind of creating these weird amalgams of licenses saying that, you know, this model can be merged with other models. This one can be used for commercial purposes. And then to add another layer onto this, now we're seeing companies go in and try to claim the exclusive rights to certain models that are popular. It's kind of a clever business move. What they think they can do is act like a talent agency, which it's the Wild West right now with this AI art generating stuff. I think that in principle, I get where they're coming from, right? If you are a clever entrepreneur, you are seeing the opportunities where AI art can generate profit. I kind of can see where they're coming from on this, although I don't necessarily agree. I think for a while now, we're going to be waiting to see a lot of what the legal ramifications of models like Stable Diffusion and Midjourney are going to come from the courts. And then that's really going to change everything. But until then, people are just kind of doing whatever they can get away with. I think a really interesting case to compare this to is the Lenza app, which made a huge splash. We talked about it on the Tech Bar. We actually even talked about it on an episode of MSB Dispatch, where, you know, with the Lenza app, this was an already existing image manipulation app, and they added in AI avatars. So what's interesting about the AI avatars is that they were using open source, readily available technology, including Dreambooth that trains models. They had kind of a set series of prompts so that it would make you into an astronaut, or it would make you look like a watercolor painting. All of this stuff could be done by anybody that understood how the technology worked. But what Lenza did was put it into a really digestible and in-demand product. You know, I think a lot of people got up in arms about that because it was literally doing what everybody gets worked up about, period, which is using the models that are trained on other people's work. And in some ways, you know, that's supplanting the artist. I think there's a big question there about the general use versus the specific, you know, replacement of somebody's style, somebody's specific type of work. So I think Lenza is a great example of how people are looking at the possibilities of what can be done with AI art right now, especially without really any litigation, without any boundaries, without any regulation. They're saying, I know how this works. We can plug this module into this module. We put it in our app. We sell it for $7.99 for 200 pictures. Is that ethical or not? I leave it to you. I think that it's also the same question that applies to this fantasy AI situation. Is it ethical to buy up the rights of models that maybe nobody has the rights to? I'm not sure. I'm going to leave it to you. Join me in the MMN Discord. Let's unpack this, you guys. But before we go, let's do something that's fun. My favorite thing is a use case. We're going to be playing with Siri and ChatGPT, so let's try it out. All right, this is the part of the show that I get excited about. It's time for a use case where we actually play with some AI technology. In an article by Carlos Zahuminski from Gizmodo, a new shortcut created by developer Yu Yang enables Siri, Apple's voice assistant, to connect to OpenAI's ChatGPT, which allows users to ask Siri questions and receive responses from the AI chatbot. To use the shortcut, users need an active account with OpenAI to access an API key, which then gives Siri permission to operate ChatGPT. Once the API key is copied into the latest version of the shortcut from Yang's GitHub page, users can choose a phrase to activate ChatGPT-powered Siri and personalize its functions. Now, fair warning, we're going to play with this here on the show, but I did spend a good amount of time last night trying to get this set up myself. For anybody that's using an Apple phone, just visit the GitHub link in the show notes to get started. You do need to have an OpenAI account to make this work, so make sure you read the instructions fully. And one other caveat is that it can actually charge you money based on how many tokens you use for this, but it's pretty cool. Once you install shortcuts and you add the shortcut from Yu Yang, you can set a term to open ChatGPT via Siri. Basically, you ask the questions and Siri will feed them into ChatGPT and give them back to you. I had a pretty good amount of fun with it, as you saw at the top of the show. All right, let's give it a go right now. Hey Siri, GPT, can you tell me how many carbohydrates are in a corn dog?
The number of carbohydrates in a corn dog can vary depending on the brand and size of the corn dog. On average, a standard-sized corn dog contains around 20 to 30 grams of carbohydrates. However, it's important to check the nutrition label of the specific brand and size of corn dog you are consuming to get an accurate carbohydrate count. I have finished answering. Please continue.
All right, well, before I let you go, I'm curious, what do you think of a YouTube show about AI technology?
As an AI language model, I don't have personal opinions or feelings. However, I can tell you that a YouTube show about AI technology can be an interesting and informative way to educate people about the latest advancements in the field and how it's impacting our world. It can also help to dispel myths and misconceptions about AI and promote critical thinking and understanding of this rapidly evolving technology.
And there you go, folks. That's exactly what we're trying to do here. Well, thanks for tuning in for another episode of AI Roundup. Before I go, I'd love to share with you some other things that are happening on the MSP Media Network. In case you missed it, Technical Deficit Episode 7, Solving the Top 5 Cyberdrain Sysadmin CTF Challenges with Kevin Teglar. On March 16th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, the Tech Bar Podcast Episode 54 with Emilio Garcia of Tier 2 Technologies. And of course, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network. All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in. This has been your March 15th episode of AI Roundup. Be sure to tune in next week, where I'm going to be having my first interview, a first guest of the show, and we're going to be really trying to unpack some of the ethics of AI technology. But until next time, I'm Phil Buck. Have a good one.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.